You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The anti-mandate protests in Wellington have been going on for nearly 3 weeks now. They're becoming increasingly problematic, with residents and reporters being threatened. New Zealand has a long history of protests, and this is the most widely covered protest since the 1981 Springboks tour. But what makes these anti-mandate protests different? I spoke to sociology professor Marcel Dawson from the University of Otago. She specialises in social movements and popular protest. So first of all, how would you describe these protests, and would they qualify as a social movement?
I would very clearly and definitively say they are not a social movement. I see them as a sort of a combination of illegal and legal protest action. You know, on the surface, if we look at it, the central demand that this group is making seems to be about an end to vaccine mandates. But to me, I sort of see that as, I can compare it to a child asking or demanding something now that they were going to get anyway if they were just willing to be a little bit patient. I mean, if we look at this Parliament occupation, what do we think is actually going to happen when these people get what they want, or maybe don't get what they want? In my view, I think they're just going to go home. You know, and if you compare that to a movement, what we see is that there's sustained action towards a broad goal. Now, for some movements, they might have or might win piecemeal gains, so smaller sort of easy wins along the way to some broader social shift. And we would call this, you know, social reform or transformation. Sometimes it can also be in the form, more rarely, but it can happen that it's radical change. So it changes society quite suddenly. And we would see that as a revolution. Now, personally, amongst these groups who are occupying Parliament, I don't see them as transformative, and I don't see them as revolutionary. So to answer your question, no, I do not see them as a social movement.
Do you think that the global sort of influence on these protests changes anything? Like, there's a similar one, as you know, in Canada and that Canada. Kind of thing.
Yeah, and elsewhere. And I think it's given the appearance of transnational solidarity. But I think that the basis for this is really, really flimsy. If you look at other transnational protests, like school strike climate, like Black Lives Matter, there's a lot more going on there that holds that group together. In these groups, whether it's Canada, whether it's New Zealand or elsewhere around the world, where we've seen these kinds of anti-mandate protests, there's not a lot of ideological coherence in these groups. You know, that if we look at just in our own country, there are Trump supporters hanging out with you know, natural immunity folks, and then there's the anti-vaxxers and the my body, my choice folks who brought their kids along, who clearly the kids have no choice in what they're doing. So I think it's not about diversity. Most successful movements are diverse in terms of the people who are supporters of the movement. The key problem for me here is ideological coherence, or the lack thereof, that we're seeing amongst this group occupying Parliament ground. So I get the point that there seems to be transnational solidarity, but I think it rests on very, very flimsy grounds.
And do you also think that the involvement of white supremacists at the protest changes any potential concerns that people are having in the protest?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, it makes it a little bit more risky. It's a volatile group, and I think this is partly why police have been quite cautious in their actions. It's not just a single type of group that you're dealing with here. I think, you know, in protest, there's always a kind of element of opportunism. And so to me, the kind of more alt-right groups have kind of hijacked the attention that the anti-mandate groups are getting. So yes, it's a cause for concern, partly because of the tendency towards much more illegal action, but also for the people who are legitimately protesting there, that actually detracts from what they're actually trying to do. So it is quite concerning to a whole lot of different elements, regardless of, you know, how you're coming into this protest or how you're looking at it. That group is, they can be quite divisive, so they certainly aren't helping the cause.
These people who may be misinformed, but could also be genuinely concerned, how can we reach them and make sure they have the correct information that will protect them from COVID?
I mean, I guess the starting point is to say, you know, who is we? Because if we start to actually answer it, you know, is it the media? Is it the government? Is it scholars or academics like myself? And I don't think it is solely up to us to go out and find these people or these voices that are getting silenced by these other more vocal protesters. I do believe it is up to these people who believe that they have a genuine concern to organize and mobilize from a position of strength. At the moment, you know, they seem to have fallen in with this ragtag group of disaffected people who have no clear goal, no coherent ideology. They haven't done the mahi. You know, if you look at protest action around the world, to become sustained, so, you know, the key difference between a protest and a social movement rests on the idea of sustained action. And I don't think that this group has done the background work to sustain their efforts beyond what they're going to get or what they don't get out of these actions. They, you know, if you look at sort of protest action, if it becomes sustained, there's usually sort of a whole history going on. I mean, Black Lives Matter, the school strike for climate, those things aren't just expressions of the 21st century. We might have seen them spilling out and you know, we see them in the papers as these contemporary things. But if we trace it back, these two movements have very, very long histories of struggle. Black Lives Matter could be traced back to the civil rights movement. School strike for climate could be traced back to the environmental movement of the 1960s and beyond. So these things are representative of sustained action, where you've kind of got generations worth of history, memory, effort, etc., that newer groups can kind of tap into and extend, or you know, it kind of gives them a resurgence or a renaissance if they're able to pick up from the previous efforts and previous generations have left off. I don't believe this group has done the work.
That was Professor Marcel Dawson from the University of Otago, speaking about what makes a social movement and why the Wellington protest is not one.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.